Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so happy to be here tonight, and especially to be with Archbishop. We have been praying for him because of his wife. And every time I think about her, you know, sometimes there are things we don't understand about God. That one who is so loving, and yet Olivia has to go through what she has gone through. Sometimes it's hard to be able to explain it, but I hope one day we will understand it. And we have been praying for her. She has such a beautiful heart, and to see her come from one crisis to another, it really pains. But we can only hope and trust in the grace of God that His will be done. And pray that He strengthens the Archbishop, that as He longs to take care of her, that he will have the strength to do that. Amen. And we'll still continue helping him in love. And I know one day we will understand why all this is happening. Sometimes we have no eyes to see. But one time God will reveal it. I'm so happy to be here because Archbishop is the same Archbishop of Africa. And I know his loving heart for God's people in Africa. And Your Grace, know that all the bishops and their wives are with you through this very difficult time. I'm also so happy to see our former patriarch, Bishop Adra. We do think of him with a lot of love. There is something that he did among us, among the bishops, that he brought unity in our bishops, bishops who belong to different tribes and communities. And yet his many years of coming to fellowship with us, he created such a unity among us that we always will cherish the work that he did among us. I also appreciate that it is through him that God has given us this vision, and it will be a disaster if we ever forget his role in what God has done to him so that this church can be what it is. And we will continue to encourage him. You know, there is so much that God wants with him and Betty. And therefore the best is to look beyond the horizon and see what God is going again to do with you. Amen. I'm happy to be here tonight. As Archbishop said, I came for the Canons Committee. That was supposed to last 3 days. But the Patriarch also had asked me to visit various other churches and speak about, bring the Word of God, and also give them our progress report, and then speak about some of the needs that you ought to pray for us. Amen? So I went to Bishop Ortiz Church in New Port City, very beautiful area of the country with many trees. I preached there the Sunday I came. Then I was last Sunday. We were with Archbishop in Ken Church, the Church of Redeemer. That is where I was. And then yesterday, I fellowshiped with the Father's Court in their church. And today I'm here. And I'll be in Bishop Epps on Sunday. And then I'll leave for New York on Monday and depart for home on Tuesday. I hope you pray for me as I travel.
Long trip.
Now, what the party had asked me to do is to talk about the needs, especially the needs concerning travel, the needs concerning cathedrals. And as you may understand, I personally came to know the Lord Jesus in the year 1972. That is when I came to know him in a personal way. I came from a very traditional family. In the sense, God to us was not very personal. But God was very helpful. Whenever we had famine, for instance, it didn't rain for 2 years. We had famine, we had hunger. That is the time our elders would collect together and assign a day for prayers. Because we needed God. We were hungry. But when we had everything, then we went on with our lives until another calamity comes. Or if there was an outbreak of a disease where many people died, then our elders would go. There was a particular tree which our elders used to go. And not every elder is only those who are over 70 years could be allowed to go and beseech God on our behalf. And God used to hear. But then when that problem is gone, then we go on with our business until another problem comes. So in 1972 in June, knowing God in my heart, knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way was the greatest thing that ever happened. Just to know on a daily basis you have a friend you can turn to was the best that ever happened to my life. It was not easy, because coming from my family who did not believe in Christ and then having a faith was not easy. And I had to leave home, because you see, I was a high school teacher. And when I got to know Jesus Christ, I stopped teaching and I started preaching in homes. First of all, I was the firstborn, educated. My father was never educated, but he educated me. He was so proud to have a son who is a high school teacher. And among the elders, he used to pride himself. It's a great honor. And now, all suddenly, Jesus Christ comes to my life. I stopped teaching. And I started preaching in homes. My father could never understand that. It was very tough for me. And to save my life, I had to leave home. And for the next 18 months, I was like a nomad without a home and without a bed. And this is the way I used to do. I used to, to go to a home, and because people work in gardens, digging and planting. And when I meet people in the gardens, I would also start digging with them as I talk to them about the love of God. And we do that the whole day. In the evening, I would lodge there, eat my meal, sleep there, and move on the next day. And I did that for 17 months. But you also know I had needs. I remember sometimes if I visited a home and I had only one shirt, one jacket, and one trouser, what I used to do is when they go to sleep, I would wash my shirt, dry it on the fire, so that I have a shirt to wear tomorrow. You know, it was an awkward, something I have never been used to. But somehow, I had a unique peace. I felt what I was doing was giving me joy, even more than the money I used to earn. I must let you know that I remember one day I was walking on the road, gone to another town. My father was driving. Somehow he noticed me, and my trouser was torn from the back, but because I had a jacket, nobody could see it. And so my father stopped the car, you know, held my jacket, only to find my, what I was hiding. I couldn't hide, my trouser was torn from behind. And he asked me, "Is this what you desired to do you with your life? Having spent every money with you, being a teacher now, you have no clothes. You'll be the most poor person to live in this earth." Now, in our culture, you don't talk to your father, you know. You don't talk rudely to your father. You can listen, but you keep quiet. But this one time I said, "The God I serve, He will make way. And one day I'll not be what I am today."
Amen.
And He has done. Then, after 18 months, I was called to train for priesthood in the Episcopal Church. I went for 3 years, and then I was posted in a parish. I worked for the Episcopal Church for 26 years. But then, during that time, I had occasion now to visit home, and my father accepted me. The very good thing I want to say is my father died, one of the greatest preachers. He used to preach in our local church, a very good preacher. Amen?
Amen.
My brother after me is a priest. He has been a priest for 5 years. My mother is the greatest prayer warrior. And all my siblings regard Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it was in 1996 when also the Anglican Church started moving away from the Scriptures. And that is the time that I found the CEC. And the reason I came to the CEC, first of all, is because it was a vision given to a man of God who was not an Anglican, but who found that the church was divided because the three streams continued to work differently. The Catholics were so liturgical together with the Anglicans, but they didn't understand about the gifts of the Spirit. They hated charismatics. The Pentecostal knew about the gifts of the Spirit, but they didn't have this rich liturgical worship, the Eucharist. And then the evangelical, the preaching of the word. So this church was the unique church which was an answer to Jesus' prayer that they all be one. Amen?
Amen.
That is when I moved. Today we have in 7 countries over 1,300 churches. Amen?
Amen.
Hundreds of priests and deacons. A church which is only 11 years old. This is what happens when the vision is from God. The church is built very fast. Amen?
Amen.
And I would like to urge you to keep this vision alive. Okay, upheavals will come. But we must always come back. Amen? We must always come back. Because once we get away from the vision, then God will get away from us. Praise God. Amen. Tonight, I want to let you know, when I was in the Anglican Church, I had a car. Another clergy had a car, had cars. The bishops had vehicles, transportation. Because the Anglican Church has a development arm called the Church Commissioners for Kenya. And what they do is to invest. They invest in building offices, building rental houses. So they have a lot of money. So they are able to give their clergy vehicles to enable them to work. They are able to give them money to build churches. They are able to give their bishops. And that is what we ran away from. Because we were, many of us, we left cars. Amen? We left houses. Because we had houses to live in. When I left with my diocese, I had 39 churches. And I told my congregations, these churches were built by the Episcopal Church. And since we are living for a new vision, we'll go like Abraham without knowing where we are going, without nothing, without churches. We'll go and worship under the trees until a time when God will give us buildings. And He is doing it all the time. We have churches now. They are not enough, but now we can worship in a roof. Amen?
Amen.
But we didn't want to take what belonged to the Anglican Church. Now, let me tell you about our bishops. We have about 18 bishops. These bishops left their churches. They left vehicles. But they are CEC bishops. And if they are riding bicycles or walking, and some of them have hundreds of kilometers to cover, you can imagine how difficult it is. Some of them tend to think about where they were, where they had vehicles. But they are in the CEC. I thank the former patriarch and Archbishop Jones, because in a small way, we can say there are two or three bishops who got vehicles during their time. But these past 2 months, there is a person from Kansas City who decided that he wanted to bless the bishops. And he gave $26,000. And we have 3 more bishops now. Bishop Kemwere, Bishop Eustace, and Bishop Matoro have vehicles in the last 2 months. So the list is going down. Amen? So now, 4 plus 3, 7. Out of 18, how more? 11 are remaining. I have a car of my own. which God gave me. And I know Archbishop Adra also was able to chip in. Amen? So this is, I'm telling you about the churches so that you are one with us. Now this trip, I've gone to 3 churches. And I thank God that in my travels, we have been so far been able to raise about $11,000. So we have another car because a vehicle is gone, a used vehicle is gone for $80,000. So we have one vehicle and a half because it's 8 plus 3. Now tonight, I was led to share with you a scripture from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. And verse 12 says, as the body is one, has many members, and all the members are one body, being many, are one body, so is also Christ. As the body has many members, and those members is one body, so is Christ. The CEC is a body. It has many members. You're members of that body. And a member, we are members in Africa with you of that one body. It's like the body, the head, the arm, and the leg. They are members of the same body. So you here, we there, our brethren in Brazil, we are one body. This is what Paul is describing about the church. And until we discover that we are one body, then the unit of the church will be a far dream. And then he says, if you are one body, this is what he says in verse 26. And whether one body, one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If I suffer in Africa, you suffer. Think about it that way. If I am honored, you are honored. If I walk, and this is normally what happens, and the Anglican bishop is passing, he does. Okay. Sometimes you feel ashamed. But you still have a call. So I was telling people, we can all work together to remove this shame. Some of our bishops are old. And you can imagine an old bishop either riding in a bus or walking. If we suffer, you suffer. If we are honored, you are honored. And I want us to think always, if one of you is suffering, count yourself as suffering with him. In Christ's body, there is no individual. This is when one falls, you also feel the fall. Amen? When one is glorified, you are also glorified with Him. We are no longer individuals. We are one body in Christ. And verse 27 it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So I brought you this word that we are part of you. And if God moves you to feel that you would want to be honored with us, then there is something you can do. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I was reading a book the other day about Dead Sea. You know Dead Sea?
Sure.
In the Middle East. Why did the Dead Sea become Dead Sea? It was not always dead. But why it died is because for many years it received water and no water came out of it. Okay? It received, but there are no tributaries. And so what it did? It died. No fish can live there. Nothing can live there. This is what happens when in us whatever we have remains with us and doesn't come out. When it comes out, it leaves room for God to bring more and even bring more. And you know, many Christians die because of that. Because it is them and their family. Out there, not my business. But then the word of God says it is blessed to give than to do what? And I am sure one day Africa, which we are about 40 years since independence, one day Africa will also be used of God to bless. Amen?
Amen.
I just want to finish because I don't want to keep you. Now, the other day, I was reading this passage in Matthew. The only way I knew to go to heaven, you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Amen? But I'm reading this passage which says, and these people find themselves wherever they were. And one group are told by God, come and inherit your kingdom that was kept for you. And on earth, they were not Christians. And they ask, why? Because if you are kept where you shouldn't be, you wonder. And then they are told, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you came to see me. And I was in prison, and you visited me. And then they said, Lord, when did we do that? And then he said, as long, as much as you did to one of your brethren, you did it to me.
Amen.
It is us loving Christ, confessing Him, and living Him in our own actions in the daily life. The person nearer you, find out how she is, how he is. That person is your business. Amen?
Amen.
There are many people who live near us are dying inside every day. And yet we meet them, we do not know. And eventually when they are gone, we say, I didn't know that he was gone through that. It is because we do not come out of ourselves to try to understand that what our neighbors are going through and to be of help where we can. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me finish by the correct, that was the sixth Sunday of Easter, which I love so much every time to think about, says, O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Okay? We limit God. But what he has prepared for us surpass what? And he says, pour into our hearts such love towards you that we loving you above all things may obtain your promises.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you because in your Son we can claim victory over every adversity in this life. Tonight we want to remember our dear sister, Archbishop's wife. We want to believe that your power is with her. And we want to claim healing for her. Oh Jesus, touch her body. We pain when she pains. We agonize when she's in agony. Hear us, O Lord. Give us the heart to give. And remember all the needs of our hearts that you may provide for them. For only in you we lay our hopes. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.